There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Pastor. All right, good morning, good to see everybody again. I know that you may be seated. Pastor Wetzel is still unable to be here this morning, so he's kind of sticking around the house just for a little bit longer. Maybe some of you don't realize, but Pastor's been in the hospital a couple of times over the last 3 weeks, and so his health is not as good as it has been. But you keep praying for him, and we'll get him back in here very, very quickly. I did want to make one quick announcement for those of you that have seen us on a regular occasion here for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Pastor Wetzel and I have been talking, and because of his illness and because of his age and different things, he knows, you know, he's 89 years old and really unable to pastor, you know, in the way that he would like to. And what I mean by that is, you know, a pastor is a ruler, he's an overseer, he's one that cares for the flock. And with him being 89 years old, he's really just unable to do that. He still wants to preach, he's still going to continue to preach, but he did ask us to come down and be more involved in the ministry here at Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. And so I told him with his approval and with his wishes that we could share some of the pastoral responsibilities. And so that's what we're going to do. And so that's just to be a help and to be a part of this local body. And so that's what you will be witnessing over the next coming weeks. And so, but you keep praying for Brother Wetzel, and I know that he would rather be here than where he is right now. And so we just need to pray for him and help him to get back into church, okay? But let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask him to meet with us this morning here in the services. Father, again, we thank you so much for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house. We thank you for the privilege of prayer and how we have direct access with you because of the work that was accomplished there on the cross of Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your love and your mercy towards us, your watch care, and your provision. And Father, we again thank you so much for all that you do for us, your bountiful blessings. And Father, we look forward to meeting with you today. We thank you, Father, for your word and how it changes lives. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you. Lord, to be a servant or a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is an amazing thought. And we thank you for the privilege that we have to be just that. And so, Father, if there is one here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, they do not have that personal relationship with you that you wish them to have, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Father, we pray that everything that takes place here this morning would bring you honor and glory. And Father, we again ask that you would just touch Pastor Wetzel, touch his body, give him strength and heal him of this infection that is in his body. And Lord, we just ask, you being the great physician, we just ask that your perfect will would be accomplished. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we sing our next hymn, let me do this really quick. I think this is good for us on occasion. But I'm going to read out of Psalm 30. And I'm just going to look at a couple of verses. But when it comes to singing unto the Lord, you know, why do we sing in a service? Well, we're worshiping him. We're praising him for who he is and what he's done in our life. And so David penned these words in Psalm 30. He said in verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks unto the remembrance of his holiness. And so David is almost encouraging us. Listen, this is what he's done in my life. This is the Lord God Jehovah. And listen, he can do the same thing for you. I want you to consider his holiness. And so he says in verse 4, Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And then in verse 12, he says, To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And so that should be our spirit this morning as we sing unto him in song, because he is holy, he's righteous, he's the creator of all things, and he's our heavenly Father. What an amazing thought. So let's sing.
Amen. I did speak with Pastor this morning. He wanted me to tell everyone that, you know, he's doing better. You know, he was laughing and, you know, himself, but he said that, you know, he's just not ready. He's not able to make it yet, but he will, you know, as soon as he can. He said it's really, you know, it was hard while he was in the hospital because he couldn't make it, but when he's at home and he can't make it, it's even harder for him because he really wants to be here. He misses everyone here. And but he was in good spirits and he's doing well. So amen. Last month I missed the birthday. Birthdays and anniversaries this month. I didn't want to miss that. So I think we got a few folks. We got Bud and then they have an anniversary. Bud and Eileen Lancaster have an anniversary. Just had one, right? How many years was that? 71 years. Is that amazing?
Amen.
71 years. So I think we should sing happy anniversary to the Lancasters. Amen. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Amen. And we have a few folks on the birthday list here too. Is anyone here that has a birthday this month? Who? Jim? Brother Jim? Anybody else? Who else has a birthday? Sasha? Would you guys stand up so we can sing happy birthday? Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. I think, yes, sir.
How many people got saved in the month of September?
Amen.
Anybody? Amen. Brother Amen. Roger. Anybody else? How about we sing happy birthday to Brother Roger because this is his spiritual birthday.
Amen. Amen. Let's do that. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen.
Amen. I think all of us would probably say that's the most important day.
Amen.
Amen. I think we're supposed to have our scripture reading. You ready? And then we'll sing a song after that.
Aren't we glad that Jesus and God accepted Gentiles? There are two people in the world, Jews and Gentiles, according to God, and he gave us the blessing of being a born-again Gentile. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, we'll look at verse 1 through 13. I do use the New King James Version because it's a lot easier for me to read and understand. So if you have the same thing or the old King James, it'll probably meld in pretty good. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace of which God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and has now been made revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of its power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom you have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart in my tribulation for you, which is your glory. May God add a blessing to his holy word.
Okay, if you'd turn over to 392. Is that it? Oh, 519, I'm sorry. 519. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Summer and winter. And
moon and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature and man in full witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Amen. Would you all rise and turn over to 698, and we'll have our offering. And would the ushers please come at the end of the song, please?
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toys of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Shall we pray? Brother Roger, would you pray for us, please?
Father, again, we come to you with thankful hearts. We thank you for the perfect provision for each and every family represented here. Father, I want to take this time to ask you to build a hedge about our pastor, strengthen him in every which way.
Yes.
Bring him back to us and teach us. We know that's where his heart lies. It deserves you.
Yes.
Father, we partake of this offering. We ask that you not only multiply it here in this corner, but the mission field we support around the world. We will be careful.
Brother Johnny, do you have a special for us this morning? Amen.
Good morning, everyone. You know, we all have troubles, heartaches. We have things on our mind that we want to talk to someone about, but either we're ashamed or we're afraid. Especially to the young people here this morning, there may be something in your life, in your heart that's bothering, troubling you. You want to talk to your parents, but you don't know how. You can't talk to anyone, really. But I urge you this morning to take heart. Go into your closet. Cry out to your Lord Jesus for mercy. He will hear you. He won't look at you and shake his head. He won't point the finger at you and blame you for something that you've done. But with open arms, he'll comfort you. Remember that, young people. Cry out to your Lord, and he's the one that's going to strengthen you.
You said I'm living.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know how he's gonna make your trial a blessing, or how he will turn your cries of sorrow into praise. And I don't see how he will turn your night of weeping into peace. Oh, and delight for day. I don't know how he's gonna do it, but I know he will. He promised he will make a way out here. Now someday you'll stand upon that highest hill. I don't know how he's gonna do it, but I know He will. So hold on to the blessed hope, my friend. Yes, I know He will. Just as an anchor that holds a drifting vessel, a gentle force restrains your faith just still. And to your soul, now listen, you can hear that call for spirit to just have faith and trust. Oh, I know He will. I don't know how He's gonna do it, but I know He will. He promised He will make a way until. Now someday you'll stay upon that I don't know how He's gonna do it, but I know He will. Now someday you'll stand upon that highest hill. And I don't know how He's gonna do it, but I know He will. Oh, I know He will. Praise God. Hold on, dear God. Hold on.
Praise God. Hold on to your Lord. Your Lord Jesus loves you. He understands. Don't worry about anything. Praise God. Amen. All right. Well, we are going to start a new series this morning. All right. And so if you miss one Sunday, you're going to miss out on the order or the context, if you will. But it's going to be a relatively short series in the idea of a preacher, I guess. But we're going to be looking at a familiar portion of Scripture that probably most of you can even quote. But we're going to look at Psalm 23 over the coming weeks. And I believe that it'll be an encouragement to you. So once you found your place in Psalm 23, go ahead and stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Psalm 23, we'll read all six verses, but this morning I'd just like to focus in on the beginning part of verse 1. Psalm 23, and again, these words are penned by David, who was a shepherd himself, and yet he knew that these words were inspired or God-breathed. As he wrote them down. But Psalm 23, starting in verse 1, God's word says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, again, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this portion of scripture that can be used of thee to speak to our hearts, to help us to be more like Christ. And so, Father, I pray once again that you would empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Help me to say only those things which are pleasing to thee. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit might have his perfect will and way in this place this morning. Again, Father, you know each and every heart here. You know those that are your children, those who are not. You know those who are living in a way that's not pleasing to you. And you know those, Lord, that are completely submitted to your will and way. And so, Father, we just ask for your perfect will to be accomplished in this place today. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. It was back in 1999, September 30th to be exact, that I was hired as an airline pilot. And something that I had always wanted to do ever since I was just a little guy. And I had just spent the last 2 years of my life learning how to fly and then learning how to teach people to fly. And so over those 2 years in 97 and 98, I flew about 1,000 hours. And that was the minimum requirement for total flight time before an airline would hire you. And so I was hired September 30th of 1999. It was like my dream had come to pass. Everything that I ever wanted. I was married. I had a son. I was an airline pilot. And everything just seemed to be just going very well. And then I went through training. They sent me through flight training, going through simulators and learning about the systems of the aircraft and learning about the operations of the company and regulations and all of those things. And when I was finally in the place to where I was flying passengers on the airplane, they gave me a beeper. Now, this was back in 1999. I don't even think they have beepers anymore. But I can remember that I had to put that beeper on my belt, and it had to go wherever I went. And I was on call for 16 hours a day. I was at the airline's beck and call. It was like they were managing my life. It was like they were ruling over me. When that beeper went off, I had 15 minutes to call the company. And then when I called the company and they gave me my assignment, they could give me an assignment within 90 minutes, and I had to be at the airport, airplane pre-flighted and ready to go with passengers on board. And so you can imagine those first days as I was what they considered on reserve status, I carried my uniform in my car if I went to the store. Or if I had to go somewhere else, I mean, I had a suitcase packed that was ready to go for 4 days, and my uniform and all of my flying equipment that I needed, my flashlight and my headset and all my approach charts in place and all those things I had with me, because at their beck and call that beeper could go off and I would have to immediately submit myself to what they would have me to do. Now, I didn't really have too much of a problem with that, because it wasn't much earlier than that I had just gotten out of the Air Force. And I can remember going to basic training and graduating from basic training and going to technical school and all those different things. They told me when I was going to eat. They told me what I was going to wear. They told me how I was going to do my job and when I was going to do it and what I was going to do. And so my life was very regimented. I always knew what I was going to do. I was going to do what people told me to do. You know, and in our society today, in our world today, we might consider that and think, man, that's not fair. You know, that's not right for somebody to be telling you what to do at all times. It's like you have no life, you know, And so in the flesh, oftentimes we can get to that point where we think, you know what, I should be able to do what I want to do. I should be able to go where I want to go. I should be able to say what I want to say. Listen, I'm in charge of my life. I'm an adult. I'm 18 years old or whatever the case might be. And you know what? I don't have to submit to my parents, or I don't have to submit to this person, or I don't have to do what this person has told me to do because I am my own person. That's our culture today. But there's something wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with somebody telling us what to do or asking us what to do, because honestly, it's very natural. You know, I think oftentimes we just look at it through the eyes of selfishness. We have that attitude or or we conduct ourselves in that manner because we're not seeing ourselves like we should be seeing ourselves. You know, David here is proclaiming that the Lord is his shepherd. And what he's saying is, it is the Lord that is ruling over me. It is the Lord that is managing my life. It is the Lord that is watching out for me. He's protecting me. He's nurturing me. He's bringing me to those places where I can mature and where I can grow and where I can be the sheep that he is to be, that he was designed to be. You know, oftentimes, you know, the Bible uses examples, uses language, uses parables, situations, and oftentimes we kind of miss out on the meaning, the purest of meaning, if you will. What I mean by that is we know that Jesus was the teacher of all teachers, and oftentimes he would say things like, you know, he would use soil as an example, or he would use a grain of wheat as an example, or he would use an illustration of an animal like a sheep. And you know, with us being with us living in our society today, and you know, if you're not a farmer, then oftentimes you might miss out on some of the truths that Jesus was trying to get across when he was talking about a particular item like soil or wheat. You know, when oftentimes we hear the word wheat, we think of bread, or we hear the word sheep and we think of a petting zoo, or we hear of the fruit of the vine and we think of going to Sprouts and getting some grapes, you know, or whatever the case might be. And you might even be a farmer and you might be very well informed of certain things, but simply because we are so far removed from this Bible time, we often miss out on many situations as well. And so David, and that's what I would like to look at over the coming weeks, is listen, David was a shepherd. He was the one that ruled and reigned and watched and fed and cared for the sheep. And yet, in God's eyes, he looked at himself as one of the sheep. You know, and the scripture describes us as sheep. And listen, it's by no accident. You know, David knew sheep. He knew the ins and outs of sheep. He knew their temperament. He knew their intellect. That sheep had a characteristic of being timid, being fearful. He also knew that oftentimes sheep would be stiff-necked and stubborn. He also knew that they needed to be cared for very intimately, that they would oftentimes do what they wanted to do because that was just in their nature. And oftentimes, if we are true to ourselves, we can be just like that. Our character, our attributes, those qualities that are a part of our life can very much be just like a sheep. And the Lord himself, through his word, depicts us as sheep. Think about this. Don't have to turn there, but listen to these words. The prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 3 and 4, he said, because God told him to say, "And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." And so he's talking about a group of people, but he's talking about putting a shepherd over them. Well, what is a shepherd? He is the one that rules and reigns over the sheep. And so he's talking about his flock. What's a flock? It's a group of sheep. And this is not the only prophet that talks about this. We have Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places, whether they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountain of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment." You know, these are the words of God. He sees his people as sheep. He sees himself as a shepherd. And David sees this truth as well. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 11. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." No doubt, when I think of David being a shepherd, he was probably just like that shepherd that Isaiah had talked about. You know, he was caring for his father's sheep, his father Jesse. And I can picture David up on the mountainside caring for those sheep. And what was it that he was doing? He was ruling over them. He was reigning over them. He was protecting them. He was doing everything for their good, for their benefit. He was doing those things so that they would have the life that they were designed to have, if you will. I can picture David like carrying that little lamb that was maybe just a couple days old as he was moving that fold from one pasture to another pasture. And that little lamb probably couldn't keep up because, listen, it was only days old. And so I can picture David picking that lamb up and carrying it. Or maybe it was a sheep that had eaten something that it shouldn't have. There was a lot of poisonous berries and things back in those areas. And maybe it was sick, it was weak, possibly it was injured. And I can again see David caring for that sheep, carrying that sheep. Whatever he had to do in order to take care of the sheep. If you remember, when he was describing to King Saul that he was fit to fight Goliath, he explained to him that, hey, I have a remarkable strength. I have this remarkable power, but it's not me, it's God, because there was this time when the sheep were attacked by this lion. And I grabbed that lion by the beard and I opened its mouth and I rescued that sheep out of its mouth. There was a time when there was a bear and I rescued the sheep from the bear. And so no doubt David would put his life in a place of risk, if you will, for the sheep. And so here's David, a son of a shepherd. And I'm sure that he probably wasn't the greatest of all shepherds, but he probably had some benefit being raised up in a shepherd's home. You know, if I was raised in a home where my father was a carpenter, I think by watching my father that I would have a head start over other carpenters that were just kind of learning on their own. You know what I mean? And so no doubt David was probably given some benefits by his father when it came to raising sheep, because he watched his father raise the sheep. And then he probably watched his older brothers care and rule and take care of the sheep. And now it's David's turn. And of course, he's human. He makes mistakes. He's not perfect. But no doubt, he was probably a pretty good shepherd, I would assume. I don't know. But I would rather have a shepherd care for me like David than maybe somebody that was, oh, you know what? I really don't know what I want to do with my life. I think I'll raise sheep. I'll give it a whirl. I'll go down to the sheep farmer and I'll get me about a couple dozen of sheep and buy some land and put them out there and just see how it goes. Now you are a sheep. Feel yourself. You feel the wool? You're a sheep. And now you get to choose who your shepherd is going to be. Do you want David to be your shepherd? Or would you like me to be your shepherd that has no experience whatsoever raising sheep? Right? And of course, we would choose David. Well, here's David, and I want you to get this. Because oftentimes we read Psalm 23 and we read it like this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know how I believe that David is writing this? He's saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's the Lord. And we can look at that in John chapter 10 when Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And no doubt David knew that Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, was his shepherd. And that's what he's saying. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the one that rules and reigns in my life. It's the Lord that protects me. It's the Lord that leads me to those still waters. It's the Lord that leads me to those green pastures where I can feast on that grass, where I can receive nourishment to my body, where I can grow and where I can mature. He protects me from the enemies that are out there, the predators. He does everything for my best interest. And David's saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. God is ruling and reigning in my life. It is God that manages my life. And because of that, I shall not want." And so when we have that attitude, like, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. I think you have a wrong philosophy. I think you have a wrong vision of who we're talking about here. We're talking about God. We're talking about the Creator of all things. You know, we don't always know why animals behave the way that they do, other than we know that oftentimes they're just dumb. We woke up this morning at about 1:30, 2 o'clock, because our chocolate lab was eating tissue out of the trash can in our bathroom. We could hear her collar rustling against the edge of the trash can. And I'm like, ugh. And I get up and I chase her back into Jacob's room and I close the door. Why would an animal want to eat dirty Kleenex? I don't understand that. And then we could even say, you know, ourselves. There'd be a time in our life where something happens and we're like, oh, why did I do that? I cannot believe I just did that. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. God is ruling and reigning in my life. And because of that, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I don't want that ruler, that manager, that shepherd that's just giving it a whirl. No, I want the good shepherd. I want Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, the creator of all things. Listen, he created me. He made me. And don't you think that he knows what's best for me? Absolutely. The reason why there's 250 million times 250 million stars in the sky is because Jesus Christ put them there. The reason why they're not falling out of the sky is because he's holding them there. The reason why we live on this earth and we're able to breathe this air, and the reason why we have the health that we have, and the reason why we're not flying off the earth as it's spinning, is because God is in complete control. He is absolutely everything to us. Colossians chapter 1, I love this, verse 15 through 20. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. You know, oftentimes we read over that verse real fast, or we don't consider that, listen, we were created by him and for him. We weren't created for ourselves. Listen, we weren't made so that we could have this grand and luxurious life. We weren't given life so that we could be happy, that we could live our life any way that we choose, just as long as it brings joy and happiness to our life. That's not why we were created. We were created by him and for him. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't live a joyous and happy life, because we can, as long as we are completely submitted to his perfect will and way. He knows what's best for our life. He knows where our life should be going. And he wants to lead us there, but we have to submit ourselves to him. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Listen, all things, including you and including me, were made for his honor and for his glory. We were created to have fellowship with him. So how do we have fellowship with him? By allowing him to rule and reign in our life. And that's basically what David is saying here. He is saying that he is my shepherd. He is my refuge. He is my everlasting everything. He is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That is who David is saying is ruling and reigning in his life. Now, we're going to see in the coming weeks, what happens when a person does not submit themselves to the Lord as their shepherd. But David, with excitement, says, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning in my life." Listen, if you've never called upon Jesus to be Lord, your Lord and Savior, if you don't have a personal relationship with God, then you can't honestly say, "The Lord is my shepherd." You can't do it. Because a person that is saved has come to the place in their life where they've said, "You know what? I am a sinner. I live my life according to my will and my way. And I don't care what anybody else says about it." You know, before I was saved, I did things that were contrary to the will of God according to His word, because it made me happy, because it brought satisfaction to my flesh, because I thought it was what was best for me. But when I got saved, and I'm not saying it was like some miraculous thing that once I was saved, now I didn't have to worry about sin, I didn't have to deal with sin. No, there's a growing process. However, when I realized that I was a sinner before God, I turned from my ways and turned to God's ways, which is called repentance, and I asked for His forgiveness, and I called upon the Lord to be my Lord and Savior, and He forgave me of my sin. You know what happened? We were talking about this in Sunday school. I was rescued from a hopeless situation. My destination was a literal place called hell, and there is a real place called hell, and He rescued me from that. He saved me from that situation. And it wasn't because of anything that I did. It was completely on the righteousness of God that was imputed upon me because of my faith in Jesus Christ and who He is and the work that was accomplished on the cross of Calvary. When I repented of my sin and called upon Jesus to be my Lord, to be my master, in other words, to be my shepherd, to be my ruler, my manager, the one that manages my life. When that took place, I became a child of God. Now, prior to that, I was created by God, but I wasn't one of His children. You have to be born into the family of God. And when I repented of my sin and called upon Jesus, I was saying, "You now are my shepherd." But you know what? Being a saved person, to be honest, can we be honest this morning? Even though I'm a child of God, I can still live my life as though God is not my shepherd. Sure I can. Because I can allow my feelings to rule and reign in my life. I can allow my friends to rule and manage my life. I can allow substances to rule and reign in my life. I can allow myself with my selfishness and my prideful attitude, I can be the shepherd of my life. But David is saying, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so I'm just going to simply ask you this morning, is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Is He your heavenly Father? Do you have 100% assurity in your soul, in your spirit, that if you were to die today, that you would be absent from the body, that you would be present with God, that you would be present with the Lord? Because if you don't have that assurity, then most likely, and I'm saying most likely, because there could be that chance where, listen, let's be honest, oftentimes the devil himself will cause us to doubt. He will cause us to question what it is that we've done in the past. But listen, if you've got 100% assurity, and it's not based on works, it's not based on your conduct, but it's based on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based on that time in your life when you repented of your sin and you called upon the Lord to be your Lord and Savior, and you know deep down in your heart that at that moment you became a child of God and you had eternal life no matter what it was that you would do after that point. If you are that person, then you can be, you can say that the Lord is my shepherd. And I pray that that is everybody here. But if it's not, let me encourage you. Before you walk out these doors, talk to me, talk to Brother David, talk to Brother Ramel, any of these men here. Talk to one of us so that we can show you right out of the Word of God how you can be a child of God. How you can be 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven when your heart beats that last beat. And you might be a child of God, but you know deep down in your heart that you are the one that's been ruling and reigning in your life. Or you know that there's a substance that you're putting in your body that's ruling and reigning in your life. Or you're allowing your feelings, you're allowing your flesh, you're allowing friends, whatever the case might be. We can allow a lot of things in this world to be our shepherd. But God wants to be your shepherd. God wants to protect you. God wants to feed you. He wants to mature you. He wants to grow you. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your master. And when we submit to Him in that way, we can be just like David and say, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't have a need in the world. And so, is the Lord your shepherd? Are you saved today? If you're not, today is the day of salvation. If you are saved, but you know deep down in your heart that you're not acting as if you're one of God's sheep. You know, let's think of it this way. Picture this one more time. You have the good shepherd, and he's ruling this group of sheep. And then you have this shepherd that's ruling this group of sheep. That's the good shepherd. This is the not so good shepherd. And it could be yourself. It could be a substance. It could be your flesh. Whatever the case might be, this shepherd is not as good as the good shepherd. What do you think these sheep look like compared to those sheep? These sheep, man, they're fat, right? Their wool is clean. It's puffy. They look like a giant cotton ball, right? I mean, they are looking good, right? What do these sheep look like? They're scrawny. Their wool is matted with mud and sticks, right? They're infested with ticks and bugs. You know, have you ever driven down the road and you look inside of this pen and you see maybe a horse? And you can count the ribs in the horse. Or maybe it's a dog and it just looks horrible. Why would it look that way? Well, because the owner's not taking care of it. Right? And we have people that go out and see this, and people are placed in jail nowadays, which I don't completely agree with. But can you see my point? Now you are that sheep. Do you look like one of these sheep? Because let's face it, spiritually, you're malnutritioned. You're all dirtied up because you're living in the world. You're allowing diseases of sin to infest your body and your life? Or are you the Lord's shepherd, where your character and your attitude represents the fruit of the Spirit? Amen. Because the Lord is your shepherd. So I could ask it this way. If you're saved today, do you have the mark of God on your life? I mean, do others see the power of God? Do others see the life and the love of Christ being lived out in you and through you? Because you weren't placed on this earth for yourself. You were made in the very image of God for His purpose and for His plan. So are you allowing God to live His plan and purpose through you this morning? I hope you are. And if you're not, you can be. All you got to do is submit yourself to His word, to His leading. Let's pray this morning. Father, again, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this account. I thank you for the opportunity that each and every one of us have to be one of your sheep, to be able to proclaim, as David did, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Father, I ask that if there be one here this morning that if they're honest with themselves, they know that they're not a child of thee. They've never truly repented of their sins. They've never called upon you to be Lord and master of their life. They're not trusting in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Up until this point, they've been living their life in a way that was only pleasing to themselves. And Father, they've been hoping that their good works or their good conduct would eventually help them to get into heaven. Father, if there is that person here this morning, I pray that today that they would repent of their sin and call upon Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. I pray that during the invitation time that they would come forward and allow somebody to show them right out of the Word of God how they can be saved. And Father, if there's one here or many here, Lord, that if they're honest with themselves, they know that you're not really their shepherd. They're a child of God, but they're not allowing you to rule and to reign in their life. They're doing what they want to do. They're allowing their flesh. They're allowing their feelings. They're allowing something else to dictate how they live their life. And so, Father, as we saw this morning, that's not pleasing to you either. Father, you have created all things for yourself, for your honor and for your glory. And so, Father, I just pray that during this invitation time that your people would submit themselves to your rule and to your reign for your honor and for your glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Would you all rise and turn over to 493. 493.
Again, maybe you are a little embarrassed about coming forward in front of a group of people. Listen, if you know deep down in your heart that you've got some business to do with God, don't leave this building without talking to somebody. I'll be here as long as need be, but each and every one of us here that are saved could give you testimony after testimony about how the Lord has done a work in our life. And, you know, that's what every Christian's desire should be, and I believe is in a place like this, is we want to see you experience the things that we have experienced. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please come and talk to me. Talk to somebody before you leave this place. You'll never regret it. I promise you that. Let me encourage you to be back here tonight at 6 o'clock for the evening service. Keep praying for Brother Wetzel. and look forward to opening God's word tonight. So let me encourage you to be in your place, being faithful unto the Lord. Let's pray once again. Father, again, we thank you so much for today, and thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for your patience and your long suffering in our life. Father, I think of how many times I've rejected your word. I've rejected you, and yet you are patiently waiting. And so, Father, thank you so much that I can have that confidence in my own spirit, knowing that you are my heavenly Father. Help me to be the child of God that's pleasing to you. Help me to be completely submitted to your will and your way. And I pray that prayer for each and every one here. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.